Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is September 29th. It is a Saturday. Tomorrow will be one of the biggest games in terms of shaping of the AFC East. It'll be a matchup between the Miami Dolphins, who are 3-0, against the New England Patriots, who are starting off kind of rough at 1-2. The game will be in Foxborough. And like I said, this has a tremendous amount of value. Miami will move to 4-0 with a win and will push what everyone considered to be the favorites, the New England Patriots, to 1-3 if they were to lose. And then, you know, if it goes the other way around, Miami will fall to 3-1, still be at the top, but New England will be right there fighting and make it, you know, that much more easier for them to regain this AFC East. So there is definitely a tremendous amount of value in this matchup. Now, I wrote a little preview piece that can be found on my Twitter. I shared a link to it. It's a lot more in-depth than I'll probably be. It has a lot more numbers and things like that, but I will be touching on points from that little preview piece that I wrote on there, so you can check it out. But one important note that I found while researching the issue is that Tom Brady at home is just an absolute monster. His career record at home is 108 wins to 19 losses, which is really ridiculous and hard to even fathom. Against Miami at home, he is 14-1 over his entire career. On the other side of the ball, Tannehill, this would be his fourth win if he's able to knock down the Patriots, but he has never beat the Patriots in Foxborough, so that will be his first if he is able to do it. So that just goes to show how hard it is to beat the Patriots when they are playing at home. And is it impossible? No, I do not think it is impossible, especially with the groove that these Dolphins have found themselves in. You have heard the stats all over ESPN that Ryan Tannehill is 10-1 in his last 11 starts with Adam Gase. Well, he is 10-1. He is definitely finding a groove. Through the first three games, he has better stats in everything than Tom Brady. Better completion percentage, more yards, more touchdowns, the same amount of interceptions, and of course a higher QBR. Am I using that to say that he is a better quarterback than Tom Brady? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that right now, Tannehill is being extremely effective at the quarterback position. The offense is thriving. And then on the defensive side of the ball, the team has also been really outplaying a lot of people's expectations. Now, just to kind of dive into New England's team and to look at them, they, of course, are going to be led by Tom Brady, who has a very intense chemistry with Rob Gronkowski, who is probably the best receiving tight end to ever play the sport of football. This chemistry has continued into this season, and Gronkowski has 189 yards so far through three games and a touchdown. He had more of an impact in the week one game, and he's kind of slowed down since. And there is some value in what I'm saying right there, because when teams have been able to lock down or limit Rob Gronkowski, it has kind of revealed the lack of depth that the Patriots have right now. Of course, Julian Edelman is out with a suspension, so the rest of the receiving core has been Chris Hogan, who has been successful in years past, Philip Dorsett, and Cordero Patterson. The three of them have 24 catches, 230 yards, and three touchdowns. So splitting that among three receivers, it's not all that great. Now, in comes Josh Gordon. We are not even sure if he's going to play. All that Bill Belichick has said right now is that we'll see. But we know Josh Gordon has a tremendous amount of value, and this lack of talent at the Patriots receiver position could lead to him being thrown in the mix instantly. So I do not expect him to be a game changer. I do not expect him to have a huge impact in this game if he were to play. But at the same time, it's impossible to predict the Patriots. And with his talent level, I could see him breaking a few big plays if the opportunity is given to him. And it's just very hard to predict how the Patriots are going to use their weapons on a game-to-game basis. Now, to examine the running back position for the Patriots, they have notoriously been a running back by committee. But Rex Burkhead has been placed on IR, so there will only be two other running backs for them in this game that will be used predominantly, and that's going to be one, James White, who is just a pass-catching beast. This guy gets more receiving yards than a lot of receivers, and then the other one will be rookie Sony Michel. Now, Michel will be handling the ground game. He's going to have the Mike Gillisley role from last year, the Deion Lewis role from last year, the LeGarrette Blount from the 2 years before that. That is going to be his role. You're not going to see him catching many passes, and it's going to be fairly easy to predict that when he's on the field, they're going to be running the ball more than likely. So Sony Michel has had a poor start so far this season, 84 yards through two games, 3.5 yards a carry, no touchdowns for him. In fact, in his last game, they were feeding him the rock a lot, and a lot of Patriots fans were frustrated that he was getting the ball so much and he wasn't effective. It was kind of It was very predictable what was going to happen because you knew it wasn't James White, so you knew it wasn't a pass. It just was a very predictable offense in New England. So I could see potentially if Sony Michel is not effective early on in this game that they turn to James White for more of the running duties, because I think James White is actually a very, very good outside runner. I think that we could see that happen, but they are more than likely going to try to get Sony Michel started on early on in this game. Now, from a defensive standpoint, the Patriots are not that impressive. On paper, not impressive. In real life, also not impressive. The team surrendered 57 points in their past two games, and in week two, the Pats gave up 376 passing yards and four touchdowns to Blake Bortles. D.D. Westbrook and Keelan Cole combined for 198 yards in that matchup. And then in a week three loss against the Lions, they gave up 276 passing yards via Matt Stafford, and then an extra 150 on the ground. Kerryon Johnson had a big day, getting 101 yards running that game. Well, now you know a little bit about the Patriots. They still have a respectable group of running backs that they will find a way to use. Tom Brady is still a beast. Gronkowski is still a beast. The receiving corps lacks talent, but with the addition of Josh Gordon, one has to be a little cautious about these positions. I think this is a team that could be locked up very easily by Miami, but Josh Gordon's potential, if he were to play, is just enormous, and it needs to be taken account for. With that being said, I still think this is a group of receivers that could be managed and controlled. So I have a few expectations in this game. My first expectation is that Danny Amendola gets a touchdown, because I'm one of those people that I believe revenge games are real, and Adam Gase is going to find a way to get the ball into Amendola's hands this game specifically. And I can just picture Danny Amendola giving a little smirk to Tom Brady and him like shaking his head after a touchdown. It's kind of a, you know, something that's in my mind. So I just think that might happen. I think that James White will have a somewhat successful day, and I can see there being a few plays where he kind of exploits the weakness in Miami's linebacking core, and the Miami has just had a few moments of poor tackling, and I could see that happening on a few plays that end up being bigger than they probably should have been just because of the missed tackling. I think that Rob Gronkowski is going to have at least a somewhat successful day, and I'm not saying that to say that the defense is going to play poorly. It's just, when you have a star player like Rob Gronkowski, they're more than likely going to get their share. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just one of those things that you kind of have to say, okay, this is going to happen, and we just need to limit it and keep it under control. So I think he is going to have, you know, at least a few opportunities to do well in this game. Kenyon Drake, I believe Kenyon Drake this game is going to have his best game so far this season. And my thinking with this is that the Lions were using a two-back set, three-back actually, with LeGarrette Blount. But when they got into that pass situation, they were going to Theo Riddick. Same thing happened with the Jaguars. They were using TJ Yeldon on the ground, but then switched to Corey Grant in the passing game. And the only team that was really only using one back in the pass situations was Lamar Miller. And I expect Miami to kind of have a similar approach from the standpoint that I think that Kenyon Drake will be getting a lot of receptions in this game as well, just because he's going to be on the field so much. And I think this is the most deadly backfield single-handedly because of Kenyon Drake that New England will face, because I think he is better than all the running backs I mentioned that New England has faced before. So I think he is going to have a great day. And this might be my hot take for the article, but I expect Devontae Parker, who is questionable now after I wrote this, I expect him, if he plays, to have a very solid outing, because Keelan Cole was making some nice catches where the defender, even though they were in good position, they just had very poor ball-playing skills, and Keelan Cole was able to make catches with guys draped on him just mossing people. So I think that Devontae Parker is 6'3". Keelan Cole's only 6 feet and was making those catches. And Parker has 2 games in his career over 100 yards against the Patriots. So it's just my thinking that I think Devontae Parker could go off in this game. And my last expectation is that Xavien Howard doesn't get an interception this game, but it's not a bad thing. I think that Brady learned his lesson from that last season matchup, and he won't be giving Howard the opportunities to remake that game from last season. I don't think we see many deep to intermediate throws. If Howard is in that vicinity, he may still do some little dump off routes or very small short slants in his direction, but I think for the most part, we're not going to see a lot of throws in Xavien Howard's direction. He has been playing that good. Now, here are my keys for a Miami win. Last week I said if the team is able to lock down Amari Cooper, they should come away with a win. Well, guess what? Cooper was held to 2 catches, 17 yards. Outcome, a Miami Dolphins win. So this is These are my keys for this matchup against the Patriots. Of course, the Patriots are better than the Oakland Raiders, so this is more than one key. I have three keys for them. The first one would be minimizing Gronk's performance. And I don't expect the Dolphins or any team to be able to completely shut out Gronk consistently. So with that being said, all the Dolphins need to do is to make the focus of the game someone else. Just control Gronk. He is going to get his on certain plays, but just make sure he isn't having a field day out there. If he goes off for one of those big days where he has over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown or two, then I think the chances of winning are near zero, because that's just not the type of football you want to be playing against the Patriots. So I think if you keep him under 60 yards and away from the end zone, the Dolphins could come away with a win in this game. And then the number two key for this game is don't let this be Sony Michel's arrival game. The Patriots were very insistent in that last game against the Lions of making him the focus. It frustrated a lot of people over there. With Burkhead out, this has all the makings to be another Sony Michel heavy game. So, you know, keep them under locks, because the Patriots have not lost a game in the past 3 years when their lead back, LeGarrette Blount or Deion Lewis, rushed for over 75 yards. They just don't lose when they get that guy going. So keep Michel under 70 yards, keep his yards per carry at like four or under, and I think the Dolphins could win this game. And then my last point for this game is limit the turnovers. This is a given. But I'm saying this because the Dolphins offense looks almost strategically created to beat this Patriots defense. When I was watching the Jaguars game against the Patriots, it seems like the Jaguars ran an offense very similar to Miami's in week two. So they were doing a lot of short routes, a lot of taking what the defense gives them, and they had receivers that could make guys miss. It seemed like the Patriots had a lot of problems making tackles as well. So I could see guys like Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant, if you just give them the open space, they could go off again in this game. But we just cannot afford to give up any costly fumbles. We can't afford any fumbles on our side of the field, and we need to make sure we get points when we can. So even if we're in their red zone, we can't afford a turnover there. We need to get points whenever we can. So no fumbles or interceptions on our side of the field, and we take all the points we can when we're in the red zone, then I think we could win this game. And if all three of these happen, I am almost certain the outcome will be a Miami Dolphins win. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via the Source.